So I'll let him tell what he needs to tell this morning, especially about the message of God, but anything in his life. But he's still being what God has called him to be. And this morning, Brother Gary Wood, would you come and fill this pulpit with the Word of God this morning? Would you welcome Brother Gary Wood this morning? Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Brett. Good morning, Benson Grove. I see lots of new faces. Hey, that's a good thing. But how many of y'all remember my wife, Susan? Oh, okay, there's still lots. Some of you never met her. But if you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10. And that's where I want to share God's Word this morning. I can't sing. I'll be kind of nasally. Y'all see this big bandage? Well, I kind of like a lot of you folks. Well, hey, Rita, I was wondering if you were here. That's Susan's best friend from first grade all the way through their life together. She was standing beside the bed holding Susan's hand when she crossed over to the other side. And I'm here today to tell you that Susan loved this church. She loved these ladies, and she really appreciated your prayers and the cards and your kindness. But when Susan left this world, Rita was holding her hand. I was holding her in my arms, hugging her neck. And, you know, when she passed, I just stood up and I made this statement. It's a line from a song. And so if Susan could have said anything then, she'd say the same thing this morning. Don't feel sorry for me, for I've caught a vision of heavenly things, things that last forever. I'm not dying, I'm just going home to live. You know, that's exactly what she did. But, you know, the thing about that is you learn so much when you go through any sickness with someone that you love. You know, you learn how to take one day at a time. You learn how to make do. You learn a lot of things. But you know one thing that I prayed, and I had no idea that Susan was praying the same thing until we later discussed it. I prayed and I said, Lord, I need help. I need help, not physically, I can do that. I need help to never let her see a look of frustration, a look of disgust, a look of inconvenience. And I never want to speak harshly. And do you know what? God answered that prayer. You know, I felt like if my wife could go through the sickness that she was going through with ALS and the dependency that she had on me every single day, I could serve her and love her and take care of her needs and do it with love and compassion. And I did exactly that. And my friends, I have no regrets. I learned a lot taking care of her. We also learned a lot about God's provisions, God's grace, God's mercy. We have a church that was so wonderful to us, Harvest Baptist Church. And I was trying to remember in my mind the number of camp meetings, but this is my 20th year at Harvest Baptist Church. Time flies, doesn't it? But I know that I believe that the 20 years that I've been there, y'all have been in this building, 20 years in this building. And I was coming to camp meetings. Matter of fact, let me tell you how I met Brother Billy. I met Brother Billy at a camp meeting over in Coates when he was passing out the cassette tapes for the Highway Shepherd. That's how I got acquainted with him. And at the time, I was driving a truck. Matter of fact, Susan and I drove trucks together. She drove one, I drove the other. She backed that truck in like a pro. While these other guys out here pulling up, backing up, trying to back in, she'd back in one shot. She'd get out of the truck and walk around the front of that tractor trailer, and she wasn't as tall as the headlight. But, you know, she was a hardworking little lady. But I'll tell you this, we found out about God's promises. And I want to tell you something this morning. It doesn't make any difference what life brings. You're going through this life and you're going to have tragedy. You're going to have hardship. You're going to have heartache. There's going to be sad times. There's going to be hearts that are broken. There's going to be times that you have absolutely no idea what you're going to do. But isn't it great to know you have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that has never left us? Matter of fact, there's a particular verse that says, He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but go with you all the way, even to the end. And I'm sure y'all know what that word always means. It used to concern me why it didn't say always instead of all way. I knocked somebody's paperwork off. But He said, I'll go with you all the way. Well, I got to studying that word, and I love words in the Bible, every one of them. But that word all the way means in a state of declension. It means when your life is out of control, when your health is bad, when there's things going on you can't fix. Maybe when you're getting older and these bodies are wearing out. He said, I'll be with you all the way. That means He's especially close in that downward spiral. When our life is out of control, when we don't know what to do about our health, when our body's doing things, He said, I'll never leave you, but go with you all way. Now, I'll tell you about Susan, and I'm going to preach the word here in just a minute, but she never complained. Had it been me, I'd probably complained every day. But she got to the point she could no longer hold her Bible. So she'd sit on the back porch and she'd listen to the audio King James Bible till she'd fall asleep. She'd come back in, she'd go back out on the screened-in porch, had her nice flower garden and bird feeders. And that's pretty much where she stayed. She listened to God's Word, and she prayed. When I said she never complained, she never complained. She never talked about anybody. Even folks that would hurt her, she never had a negative word to say. But see, she found something. She found that peace that passeth all understanding. And I like that scripture that says, even though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. That's great, amen? Because there's help that comes from Him that you get nowhere else. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. Do you know how you get that peace that passes all understanding? Do you know how you get along with everybody else? Do you know how you get along with your family? Do you know how you get along with your enemies? I'm going to tell you. You have a vertical relationship with God. When you have a vertical relationship with God, everybody else on a horizontal level, we get along with them. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient. And because when we have a vertical relationship with God, we understand that His promises are always, always on time. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He supplied her needs. His grace was brand new every day. His mercy was brand new every day. Her heart, even though her outward body had just faded away, I could understand her. But she got to the point she couldn't do anything. So you know what you do? You do everything that you can as a husband, because I knew she'd have done the same thing for me. But you do it, and as you're doing it, you're growing in grace and knowledge. You're growing, and let me just share this with you, husbands and wives. You think you're close to one another now. Well, see, there's something that kicks in when you end up in life doing something you never realized you thought you would have to do. And that would be taking care of your husband and your wife and looking after them and loving them and helping them stay at home where they can enjoy being loved and cared for. I had a pastor friend a year ago. He was probably in his mid-40s. He had really severe diabetes. He had to have several amputations, and his wife just up and left him. Took their daughters and left him home alone. just to fend for himself. What a horrible thing to have to endure. But I'm glad Susan never had to go to a nursing home. I'm glad that I could take care of her. I'm glad the Harvest Baptist Church, I'm telling you, somebody donated a brand new walk-in tub. There was a plumber in the church that came and installed it. And everything that we needed was provided. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is a conditional promise. What do you mean conditional? It means as long as you're doing your part, God will always do his. And Susan loved you. She loved this church. She loved the camp meetings. And I'm so glad that last year I was able to bring her in one night to the camp meeting. She wanted to come so badly. But thank you for all your prayers. She's in heaven. She's happy. I would ask you that you pray for her younger brother, her baby brother, Glenn. He has cancer. He was supposed to have a bone marrow transplant, but his lungs are too weak to have that, and he's just having a hard time. His name is Glenn Carroll. So if you'd pray for him, his wife, his children, I know Susan would appreciate you doing that. Look with me in Scripture, if you would, John chapter 10. And I want to look at verse 1 through 10, and I promise I will not keep you long. But I just feel like that this is a good place to be this morning. I know you've heard this Scripture time and time again, so one more time won't hurt you. Say amen right there. All right, beginning in verse 1, John's Gospel chapter 10, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name." Aren't you glad he knows your name? "And leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them," he said, "verily, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Here's my text verse. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your mercy and grace. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name this morning that you thought was worth Calvary and sent Jesus to die, shed his blood on Calvary's cross, that we could be saved. Heavenly Father, we're glad the story did not end there, because the completion of the gospel was on the third day when our Savior rose again. And Father, I'm thankful this morning that I came to know you. I'm thankful for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm so thankful for abundant life. I pray that you'll be with Brother Billy and Sister Regina. Father, bless the revival that they're in this week. Bring them back home safely. Thank you for Benson Grove Church. Thank you for the love that they've always shown to me and to Susan. And I pray that you'll bless this message this morning, and ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, I like to look at these words, because when he said, "I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly," that word means exceeding abundant. It means very highly, beyond measure. You see, I can't testify for most of you, but I waited a long time to ever surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I met Brother Billy around that same time. And truly, I found out that I had been blinded, just like the scripture says, the God, little g, of this world blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should come into their heart, shine in their heart. And see, I always thought that abundant life had nothing to do with scripture. I thought that I could just live it up and do as I please, and I did. And guess what? You know, God, when he made us, the Bible says that's the first time I believe I ever found in the Bible that God called a meeting together. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And he said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, the only difference was, you know, he created everything, gave man dominion over everything, but what he gave to man was volition, a free choice. You make your choice. We all make choices. And so when you make the right choice, I'd made all the choices that I thought was right for Gary Wood, and guess what? The ways of a man that seem right unto a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death. Well, I left home when I was 17, while I knew everything. Anybody relate to that? Well, I did. I left home when I was 17 while I knew everything. I mean, I had been taken to school, Sunday school and church, and I knew about God's word. And then all of a sudden one day, after I had beat myself to death, after I had learned a lot of lessons the hard way, and some I'm even ashamed to tell you, I will tell you this, that on the day, and let's talk about Susan for just a minute. When I say my life was a wreck, I was standing at the back of my car one day, Rita, with a little cardboard box. I didn't have anything in it but a few clothes, because the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy," right? Well, he just about done that in my life. He just about completely destroyed me. But somehow or another, that day, standing at the back of that car, the Holy Spirit of God came by and convicted my heart standing right there. And from that moment, Susan and I made a drastic change in our life. We gave up, we gave over, we surrendered, found ourselves in church, and found myself in Rocky Mount a few years later, found myself in a place called Rocky Mount. And matter of fact, it was a place I said I'd never go, Brad. Rocky Mount was twice removed from nowhere. And guess what? You don't ever say what you won't do, but I ended up there. Well, Susan and I left our jobs, and we were making really good money. We left our jobs and went to a little church in Rocky Mount. They were in a rented building. They didn't have a pastor. And Susan and I and Christopher, we made a total of 17 people. Well, when we left our jobs, you know, we were making really good money. We went up there, and you can never put a pencil to God. The Bible says that God supplies all your need. Well, he took that little $500 a month or $500 a week paycheck that we were getting. And when you're self-employed, you got to always remember, you got to take out tax. You got to take out your tithe. You got to take out what you're going to give. But that doesn't leave a whole lot left when you're paying tax and tithe and giving to the church out of $500. But can I tell you something? We never missed a bill. Matter of fact, some of them were paid off early. That God supplied, you know, you've heard it said time and time again, where God leads, he feeds. Where God guides, he provides. Well, listen, he did exactly that. He sent people by we didn't even know to be a blessing to us. God showed up and he did so many miraculous things. And I have been there now for, this is the 20th year, but I could not have had a better helpmeet than Susan. She prayed for every service, even during her sickness for the last 3 years when she couldn't go to church. We were live streamed Sunday morning. Sunday night, she would watch the services. She prayed for everybody. She called their name out. She knew everybody. Wednesday night, I would call her up on the phone and set it on the podium and let her listen. Some of the ladies would come, pick the phone up, and have prayer with her. And so it was a tough journey. It was a tough journey to drive from Fuquay to Rocky Mountain back on Sundays and on Wednesdays. It was really a challenge to study and prepare three messages a week and look after her. But you know what? The Bible said this, "But my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Not only was there physical help, not only was there emotional help, but there was spiritual help. But the greatest thing was that I'm so glad those years back that standing behind my car, broken, ruined, with nowhere to go, God did a miraculous change in my life. Now, when you start talking about abundant life, I want you to think about this. Now, the plan of the Satan is to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. The plan of the Savior is that we might have life. And the provision that the Lord gives us is eternal, everlasting life. I want you to think about this scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. It said, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are most men most miserable." The hope. You know, I had somebody ask me one time, one of the church members, say, "If we have eternal life and God is so good and all of His promises are this, then why do we have hope?" Well, you know, that's a different hope. It's not like when you were a kid, "Well, I hope I get a new bicycle for Christmas," or "I hope I get a shotgun or a BB gun," whatever the case might be. But this word hope in the Bible means this. It means confidence, faith, and trust based on God's word. In Hebrews, it says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath." Now, this is talking about the oath to Abraham. "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that veil within." Jesus said, "I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." And it's abundant forgiveness. And not only is that, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." He can be found. But let me tell you something else. Do you know where the real proof is in something like this? Is when you have somebody that's sick and you're seeing them day by day, gradually getting worse. And there was times that I went to the ALS clinic in Duke, Dr. Richard Bedlack. He's one of the greatest ALS doctors on the East Coast. But we would go sometimes, and I would sit there with her. And the thing about the ALS clinic, every doctor, nurses, the physical therapist, everything was under one roof. Under one roof, she was in one room. They all came to where she was. And the Dr. Bedlack, the ALS specialist, would always come in last. Well, he came in, and you know, he would tell us how she was doing, and she was getting worse, and they did that on a number scale. And the last time he came in and told her that, he got up, took his little bag, and went out. And I asked Susan, now this is abundant life, abundant grace, abundant peace. Abundance covers a lot of areas. We're not talking about just financial abundance. You know, people think about the things they get from God's hand. You know, we spend too much time seeking God's hand, we need to be seeking His face. But see, when I'm talking about God gives us what we need, abundant life, abundant, God supplies whatever we need. But the doctor got up and walked out, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to that, and Susan is the one sick, right? And I'm sitting there, my heart's just being ripped, you know, I'm sitting there listening to this doctor tell her that she's dying, and he gets up and goes out, and I look at Susan, I said, "How do you feel about that?" She looked at me, she said, "I'm fine." And I'm like, "Well, I need a little bit of what you got, because I'm not fine right now." Well, we would get home, and you know, I'd have to pick her up and put her in the pickup truck, and the pickup truck was the easiest, because when she stood up, I could just put my arms around. If y'all hadn't noticed, I'm vertically challenged. But she stood up on the running board and it worked perfect where I could just put my arms around her and sit her down. Been a couple of times we rolled out in the front yard and laughed about it because I turned wrong and, but I'd always fall so she could fall on me. We never got hurt, but that particular day we got home, she went in the house and she got her walker. She didn't even go to her chair where she normally goes or to the bathroom. She was headed to the bathroom. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to talk to God. And that's exactly what she did. You see, how do you get through something like that? You get through that because you have a relationship with a Savior. And not just a relationship that, you know, that's just words. It's a relationship. It's a love connection. And she talked to Him every day. She prayed every day. She didn't complain. Every single person that she came in contact with, she was an encouragement to them. She lifted them up. And by the way, here's a thing to think about. Do you know when we come to church, the Bible says that we come together collectively as a family of God to encourage one another, to lift one another up. You see, I don't know if anybody told you or not, but when you leave here and you go to work or you go wherever you go next week, you're in battle. You're surrounded by crazy people every day, right? I mean, it's a crazy world we live in. We have crazy folks in our family. Hey, listen, every family in here has a loose limb in the family tree. You stand under it long enough, it'll fall out and hit you in the head, right? And there's some loose limbs in church, too. You have to watch out for falling limbs, even in church. But see, the thing that we need to learn in church is every single one of us are the same. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's either one or two things going on in your life. You're either in a crisis or one's headed your way. And see, the thing that we need to remember, our responsibility, is when we come to church, we come to be a part, not to pick a part. I mean, every one of us have issues and problems, and we have things that we struggle with. Y'all remember, I can't remember which preacher I'm quoting this from. It said, faults in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. Right? And so we get to church and, you know what they gave me, and Susan laughed about this, for pastor appreciation one year, they gave me, Brad, you'd like this, because I'd made the statement. I said, y'all need to take the pastor out from in front of my name out there and put referee, because the pastor spends too much time trying to put out little fires in the church that prevent him from doing the things he needs to be doing. When I'm saying little fires, I'm talking about keeping people separated. Do you ever notice this? Now, when I'm saying God gives abundant life, I didn't tell you what they did. They gave me a referee shirt and a hat and a whistle for Pastor Appreciation Day. But see, here's the thing about that. All of us, we can be as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as you want to be. He said, call on me and I will answer thee, show you the great and mighty things thou knowest not. We make a choice today when we read the scripture. We make a choice to, how can I apply that to me? And how can I be better through this scripture? What can I learn from it? Or we come to church and we are so focused on the singing, we're so focused on the social life in the church, we're so focused on the Facebook, we're so focused on what somebody else is doing. Too many people in the church trying to blow somebody else's candle out, but you know what? Blowing somebody else's candle out never makes yours burn any brighter. And so here we are. There's going to come a time that you need your church family. There's going to come a time that you need to be loved. And until then, there's a time that you need to love. Because we support each other. If we don't support each other, who do we have? I know that we have Jesus. That's the greatest thing that we can have. But my friends, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing any greater than a church family. All the members fitly joined together. If everybody came to church and they had prepared for worship, if everybody came to church and could be thankful for what God blessed them with that week, if everybody could come to church with an attitude of worship, if everybody came to church filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there wouldn't be church splits, there wouldn't be problems, there wouldn't be contention in the church, there wouldn't be all of those things that we see that should never be in church. But see, we all have human nature. But one thing that Susan was able to do was keep part of that fleshly nature under subjection and love everybody. She impacted everybody that she met. I was really surprised at the number of people that turned out at the funeral in Rocky Mount. And then at the graveside, it was a private graveside because there were so many family and friends in the community that came. But, you know, I thought about, what in the world would happen if that were me? What would happen if that were you? How would your behavior be if you were going through a sickness like that? When you find out about abundant life, there's some things that you'll never know about until you walk in those shoes yourself. And see, we're so easily, we can be so judgmental of others. But I want to tell you something. There's just something to be learned when you walk in some shoes yourself. You can have all kinds of opinions. They don't matter. You can have all kinds of thoughts. Well, I'll do it this way. That don't matter. I'll tell you what. When you walk through shoes, and I have been blessed. My parents, if they live until September, be married 71 years. Looks like they'd find somebody and settle down, doesn't it? 71 years. And when you get into a relationship like that, that's wonderful. But the relationship with the Lord, the relationship with your family, the abundance of God, His ability. You know, there's some of you, we don't have time to ask the question, but how many of you have ever been at a place that you've cried, you don't have any tears left? How many of you ever been in a place where you knew absolutely nothing that you could do to help? You had no answers to the problem. You see somebody and you want to help them, but there's nothing that you can do. But you know what? It's an amazing thing how that still small voice is able to speak to your heart sometime and give you that abundant peace and give you that, and not only peace, but joy and happiness. Because we're going through some things now. And folks, let me tell you something. God's been good to America. I don't know what's happened to this country, but part of the problem of this country has been the church. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundant. We've got the greatest message in the world. Look, we could be a witness to so many people through hardships, through disappointments, through sickness, whatever. We should have a testimony that somebody would see us. And Susan's prayer was this. She said, I don't know why I've got this, but God does, and it's for a reason. And she prayed. She said, through this journey that I'm going through with this ALS, she prayed and asked God to help her be a witness to somebody, to lift somebody else up. So here we are. We're living in the United States of America, the most wicked time that we've ever seen in our lives. I mean, if it's 20 years ago, I preached a message entitled, 20 years ago, who would have ever believed? Well, I can preach that message all over again today. We never realized that we'd be in the situation that we're in today. But everybody here today, you need to be part of your church family. You need to love each other. You need to support each other, because there's coming a time that the world's not going to help you. But the Lord Jesus Christ, through the born-again believers that make up the body of Christ, are going to be there to help you. And I don't care who you are. The battle gets hard enough. The journey gets weary enough. You're going to want some help. You're going to be blessed to have help. Let me give you an example. There's two ladies in our church. You know, they're the kind of ladies in a church that just do everything, and everybody else finds a reason why they messed it up. Everybody else finds a reason to complain. But these two ladies were our dear friends all the way back from early 2004, and one of them was a nurse. Her husband passed away, and the other dear lady, her husband passed away. I did his funeral. They would come to our house, and you know as well as I do that there's some folk that come into your home that you just are comfortable with, and others that are just your acquaintance. You can't be yourself, right? And that's just a fact. But they would come to the house. They would go through the house. clean the house top to bottom, fold all the clothes, wash all the dishes, put everything. You don't know what a blessing that was to me. I mean, I could wash clothes after I figured out that you don't, I just filled the washer up, but I got school on that. But I couldn't fold clothes very well. But these ladies for, I believe, 4 or 5 years came every month just to do what they could do to help. The church family, she couldn't sleep in the bed. You think about this now, husbands. You try to go to bed, your wife can't turn over. Well, she can't lay in one position so long. Now, here's another thing. When I tell you how God answers prayer, I sleep through tornadoes, literally. I mean, there could be a train track through the backyard, and I'd sleep through it. When I go to sleep, I'm asleep. But you know, when she got sick, she'd call my name one time, and Rita, I'd wake up. I'd just wake up. And so these ladies come, they did all these things. They would do things with Susan. She had one request. She wanted to go back to the beach one more time. One more time. She loved that. And these two ladies went with us to the beach. They did the cooking. They helped me with her. And there was a generous donation that came from somewhere. And we got a fully handicap accessible beach house at Nag's Head. I mean, when I say you learn some things about places that say handicap accessible, that could be just a couple of boards for a wheelchair. Fully handicap ADA accredited, American Disabilities Act. When they say fully handicap, she had a roll-in shower. She had a deck. She could go out front. We took her to the beach. I got one of those wheelchairs with the great big wheels and pushed her out on the beach, put a fishing rod in her hand, drove her up and down the beach in the truck. She went until she could not literally pick a foot up. Matter of fact, it was so bad that I had to, you know, she couldn't help me at all. I had to deadlift her and put her in the truck. But see, when I'm saying church family, when I'm saying God, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm coming that you might have life and have it more abundant. There's some abundance of God's blessings that come in our lives that come at just the right time when you need them. And God knows just who to send. God knows just exactly what to do. But back to this story, those very two same ladies started a little fundraiser that lasted one Sunday night. Since Susan couldn't lay still, I would have to turn her over. When she would have to go to the bathroom, I'd have to physically get her up, take her to the bathroom and help her, bring her back, put her back in the bed. Then I get in the bed, it may be 15 minutes, it may be 20 or 30, and then I've got to turn her over again because she couldn't turn. Well, there's a chair, it's made by Spin Life, it's a zero gravity chair. My goodness, that was a blessing from heaven. Chair was over $2,000. On a Sunday night, the church took up a love offering, ordered that chair, and they delivered it. The chair would stand her up, the chair would lay her back, she could recline, it was zero gravity, which meant it took all the pressure off of her joints, and she could sleep in that chair. She loved that chair, and she loved that walk-in tub. But you know where those things come from? It came from a family of God, that loved each other. It came from people that were, you know, fitly joined together. You know, all the members here are important. They are. Now, I would use my nose and say it's a little member, but it's not. It's a big one. But I'm going to tell you what, I had to get up. It took me 3 different times this morning to bandage this nose. But I don't care who you are. If you're in the church family, you're here for a reason. You have a talent. You have a special personality. We all fit together and love each other. Because look, when those times like that come, you find yourself, let me tell you something else. You know what faith is? Faith is when you're standing on the edge and you're waiting. You know, when I resigned my job, her and I both, and we left our home and went to Rocky Mount, we went totally by faith. Faith is when you're standing right here on the edge. And unless God helps you with that next step, you're gonna bust the floor wide open. So faith, my friends, is this. When you get to that place, you learn that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much that He saved you, made you in a promise of abundant life. He made you a promise that He'd supply all your needs. He's made us so many promises, but yet He asked very little from us except for our faithfulness back to Him, to love Him, and to appreciate the things that He's done. See, when you get to the place that you can't help yourself, when you get to the place that doesn't make any difference what you can't buy health. You can't replace things that are broken in your body. And I don't care who it is. You don't have to be old to die. You can die young. You don't have to be sick to die. But one thing everybody's got in common, every time I've been to the ICU in any hospital, every single person, regardless of their stature, regardless of how much money they have, what kind of pedigree they have, where they work, none of that matters, because every single one of us look the same when there's tubes coming out of our body and we're laying there on that hospital bed, and the only hope that we have is the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal everlasting life. That's the hope that we have. And when you don't have that, then you are of most men miserable, the Bible says. If Jesus Christ had never rose on the third day, then there'd be no gospel. There'd be no everlasting life. There'd be no healing. There'd be no promises that we could receive. I have been the recipient of so many promises of God. And undeserving as I was, God still blessed me. I would have never dreamed, Susan and I, and I'm not giving the devil any credit, but I was a stone cold alcoholic. Never would have thought one minute, Rita, that some years down the road after that God would use me to pastor a church in Rocky Mount. That God would take my little wife, Susan, and she would go with me and endure every trial, every issue with no complaint, but love me and pray for me. And by the way, I found a prayer that she had written and had it hidden away. It was in her medicine cabinet, and I took a picture of that prayer. But you know what? She was sold out. She was dedicated. She didn't have 1 ounce of malice in her heart. She did not talk about people. She loved people. She'd help anybody that she could. But you see, that was a brand new nature. That was a brand new nature for her. It's because Jesus Christ had become her Savior. Now, that new nature makes you do strange things. It makes you just, I'm happy. Are you happy? Praise God. Look, think about this now. When you get in the Baptist church, now our folks are doing pretty good. But you know, in the beginning, in Genesis, when God said the first time you ever see the word let, L-E-T, let, that's a simple word. But the first time you ever saw that word in the Bible, God said, let there be light, right? It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. It wasn't like, brother, your wife might let you go to the store this afternoon and get some ice cream if you promise you don't eat one carton on the way back. You know, that's one way of let. You might let your children go play somewhere. But God gave a command. He said, let there be light. And by the way, that was before He ever created the stars and the moon and anything to reflect light. He didn't need a reflection. He was the light. Amen? And God said, let there be light. And then we get over to Psalms. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So if you look at the law first mentioned, praise God, let was a command all the way back in the very beginning. It doesn't change when we get to Psalms. It said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And see, here's the thing about abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing about His promises. Here's the thing about God's provision. Here's the thing about His forgiveness. It doesn't make any difference who you are. And by the way, how many of you can say, preacher, I've not done everything that I could do. I've not been the best. I stumble and I fall. Everybody in here would have to raise their hand, right? But I've never seen one time that I couldn't picture in my mind Jesus Christ holding His arms out and saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then He said, if we confess our sin over in 1 John, that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So yes, we went through everything, every trial. We all go through the same things. We all have problems, sickness. We all have family issues, financial issues. We just have life, right? I believe Brother Billy one time made the statement. He said, we all have stuff. We're going through stuff. And then when you go through your stuff, and when you get to the end of that, we're going to heaven, right? But we all have stuff. But the greatest thing that we have is the ability to know that, listen, if God knows when a sparrow falls and hits the ground, if He knows how many hairs are in your head, and if we're created after His own image, how much more do you think that you're worth in His sight? So yeah, even though we go through the sickness, and I watched Susan suffer, but the other thing that I saw was the inward man being renewed day by day, that inward strength. And I've gone to 12:15. Can you believe that? I hadn't even got through my introduction yet. But here's the thing. I don't care what you're going through. It doesn't make any difference. You have a Savior that loves you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but go with you all the way. And He reminded us that even though the outward man perish, by the way, you older folks in here at my age, you know why I got all these spots? You know, all of a sudden when Susan went to the hospital, I didn't have time to go do a lot of things, but I found out I had a little spot on my shoulder about the size of your little pinky fingernail that took like 30-some staples and a gash from my neck to my shoulder, and then a big old hole over here on this one, and then decided they want enough, so they want to balance it out and get the nose. And it come from working in the fields like a lot of you guys around here did. But I'm going to tell you something. You're getting older. You go look in the mirror. We're sagging. We're bagging. Maybelline, duct tape, hairspray. Whatever you want to use. They got a sunscreen now. I don't have to be convinced to use sunscreen anymore. But he gave me one that says age defense. Well, I think I've been waiting a little bit too long to start defending that now. But when we're going through those things, the outward man, though the outward man perish, the inward man can be renewed day by day. Not once a week, not once a month, not just on Sunday, but every single day. I'm going to stop right here because Billy Farmy. I'd have had no idea. Honest to goodness, I didn't get past my introduction, but let me just, if the pianist could come. If I could leave you with one thought this morning, it would be this. There's no such thing for a Christian. There's no such thing as hopelessness. That's not a word in your vocabulary. Our hope is based on the immutable promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you face, God's grace is sufficient. Whatever you're going through, you're loved with a love without measure. Amen. You're never alone. There's always help. Our help comes from the Lord. But you know what else? Here we are this morning as a family at Benson Grove. And all you folks I've come to love over all these years, it's always been a privilege to come here, always been a blessing. But you here this morning, this is the best possible place you could ever be. Because you're going to be either helping somebody, or either there's going to time come that you're going to need some help. And you know what? The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For with the same measure that you meet withal shall be measured to you again. And I forgot the part that said, shall men give unto your bosom. See, God uses people. God uses people. And God knows your need. And isn't it good to know that there's coming a time, unless the rapture takes place and we're some of those that are alive and remain, and the dead in Christ caught up first. But unless we're part of that number, you're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I don't care who you are, you're going to die. But during that process, whether it be sudden, whether it be a sickness drawn out, people are looking at you, and you're going to have an opportunity to make a difference. That if you left this world, I hope that you could say, my life made a difference to somebody else. Because that's the most important thing that we could do. And your church family here this morning is the greatest gift that Jesus Christ gave you outside of his salvation. That's why he said, you know, the greatest commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And the second was likened to it, that we love our neighbor. In Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us about our responsibilities, about forgiving one another and supporting one another. And when somebody's down, I've been looking through that book a long time, and I've not found a place yet where we're told to hold somebody down. Our responsibility is to help them up, to encourage, to build them up. We all have bad days. We all have issues in this life. But I want to tell you, you're never alone. And there's help there beyond anything you could ever imagine when the time comes. When the time comes, God's grace is sufficient. He came that we might have life and have it more abundant. Abundance covers a large area in our lives. I hope that you remember this morning. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. You're in a great church. You've got a great pastor. I love coming here. So if you would bow your heads for just a moment.